with David Mearman and Scott. Well, I say here, we're not actually here. David's sitting in Boston. You're in Boston, David?
I'm in Boston where we have 3 feet of snow right now.
3 feet of snow. Oh, my God. Australia's just, Sydney's just gone through a one of its hottest spells in history. But Melbourne is experiencing a big wet, as is the rest of the country. But I just can't even imagine 3 foot of snow. As I've told everyone before, David's coming out to do a tour up and down the east coast of Australia, Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney. And if you're involved in the PR industry or the marketing industry, you really should go and see David. I've seen him speak several times and I've banged on monotonously about him. And I'm just going to ask him a few questions today about what we can expect in this tour of 2011. Who's the seminars or the workshops targeted at, David?
Thanks for doing this, Jim. I really appreciate it. There's a couple of main people that that can generate lots and lots of valuable information from coming to the seminars. The first one is anybody who's a marketing or public relations professional, either at a company or an agency. Everyone's always looking to make sure that they've got the latest set of skills. And my job, what I do for a living, is travel all over the world giving seminars and doing keynote speeches at companies and at organizations and associations all over the world. So as a result of that, I'm constantly being exposed to new and interesting ideas, which I write about on my blog and in my books. And so I look at myself as somebody who can gather what's going on and put it into use. So that first group is going to be people who are marketing or public relations professionals. The second group, and in fact, this group I think is really, really a great audience for what I talk about, are entrepreneurs and business owners who are trying to grow their businesses. And that can be in any industry. It could be a nonprofit, an educational institution, independent consultants, virtually any type of organization who's trying to grow and wants to understand how to use the tools of the web, the tools of social media, the ideas of real-time marketing to generate exposure for their business can get a great deal out of the information I'm going to share.
Okay. Fantastic. You mentioned real-time marketing there, and as I've explained to viewers previously, you know, Google's whole business model, as you've pointed out too, was changed by the advent of something called Twitter, in that you can put David Mearman Scott into Google now, which I'll do right now, and we have on Google now on the left-hand side a little link that says real time, and it will tell us what discussions are going on real time about David Mearman Scott. And you'll be interested to know the last thing was 4 hours ago by Amazon.com on Twitter. But what does real-time marketing mean to you?
You know, this has been the most, I think, the most important thing that's happened to the web and to marketing in the last decade, is the idea that anybody can now communicate instantly. And I'm fortunate because my first job out of school, I worked on a bond trading desk in New York City. I actually worked in the World Trade Center with a company called Dean Witter. And I saw the transformation of the bond market to be a real-time business with Unix computers and then later PCs that went onto the desktop. Prior to that, it was kind of a clubby old boys network where people traded bonds over the phone, and it turned into a real-time data-driven business. The same thing I think is happening right now with marketing and public relations. And what's happening is that people are talking about your business right now on the web. There are things happening in your marketplace right now. There's regulatory changes that can happen. There's all sorts of things that are going on that you can react to instantly. And the opportunities to be able to instantly engage an audience based on what that audience is interested in is an absolutely huge transformation in what we as marketers can do. Now, I contrast that with how most marketing and PR has traditionally been done, in that what people typically do, and this is what almost everyone does, is they plan a long, drawn-out campaign. And, you know, they think about what are they going to do next month and next quarter and 6 months from now and even next year. They plan out product releases. They plan out advertising campaigns. They plan out press releases based on an editorial calendar. None of that's bad, and I'm not suggesting that companies abandon that kind of planning process. But the thing is that it means that you don't have a chance to think about and react to and take advantage of opportunities around what's happening right now, this instant. So I wrote a book about that that came out in November of 2010, so only a couple of months ago. It hit number 2 in the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. It's doing really well because people are really interested in these ideas. So I'm going to be sharing a whole bunch of real examples about how companies have been able to take advantage of these ideas of real time. And my goal in the seminar, one of the goals at least, is to change people's mindset about what time is. You know, time is just an incredible opportunity if you can react quickly, and it can be an enemy if you don't react quickly. And it's something that's completely overlooked in virtually every marketing and public relations and advertising department in the world. It's overlooked as an opportunity.
I read the book too. Great book. I really enjoyed it. Some very funny case studies and anecdotes in there, so I highly recommend it.
Got to have humor, right?
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it a lot. You talk about an organization to be able to act in real time like that, and traditionally they've always planned, and that's not a bad thing. But how do you plan to, or how do you, like, do you train or do you hire to find people who understand what real time to an organization means? But do you plan to not plan, or, you know what I mean? It's
like, I think that's part of it. You leave time in the day so that you can react quickly. You know, most people have got every second of their day planned out, and as a result of that, they're not able to drop everything at a moment's notice when the time is right to do something. So the main thing is that it's a shift in mindset. It's a shift in thinking about what marketing is, what public relations is, to include the element of time, and it's specifically being quick. So that real-time mindset shift is what's really important. Now, what a lot of people then need to be thinking about is, okay, well, how can we do this as well? How can we shift the way that people individually, as well as the company as a whole, can be thinking about time and take advantage of these ideas? And you know, so I'm going to share a whole bunch of tons of examples. You know, just a real simple one is almost everyone around the world remembers when the Chilean miners were stuck in their hole for 2 months. And you know, there's just an incredible story about how they drilled down to reach them, and they brought them back up to the surface after they'd been down there for 3 months or 2 months or whatever it was. The real-time marketing aspect in that story comes out when Oakley Sunglasses donated 33 pairs of sunglasses worth $180 a piece to each one of those miners as they came out of the hole. Now, the reason that their eyes would have been damaged by UV light had they not had sunglasses to wear, because they were in the dark for such a very long period of time. Oakley donated the sunglasses. Everyone in the world, over a billion people who saw that story, saw them wearing Oakley sunglasses when they came out. And that was worth tens of millions of dollars in free exposure, all because somebody was very clever in thinking in real time about how they would do that, how they would be able to help out those miners. Now, most organizations don't think that way because they're too busy planning their product announcement for 6 months from now. Yeah. And so I think what it takes is this mindset shift, much like the way that we shift our minds when we think about exercise, and we make it a part of our life. You know, if you want to be fit and healthy, you've got to exercise regularly. And it's about shifting your attitude and your mind to make exercise a part of your life to the point where you don't even think about it. It just is. And that's exactly the same approach with thinking about real time, is that you just make it a part of your life to look at the opportunities that present themselves on a moment-by-moment basis. And that doesn't mean you act on every single one, but over the course of a week, maybe there's a couple of things that you act on, which is a couple things more than the vast majority of people act on, because they're so busy with this long-term planning mentality.
How important do you think is it to have people in the organization not only having the ability to react in real time, but to get to that point to know how or where they can react? Like you always talk about, if you want to respond to a customer complaint, you know, respond in the same medium that they complained in. How does an organisation start to plan to get people using the tools, and how important are the tools as opposed to what you talk about, which is the mindset?
Oh, I think the mindset's the most important thing. The tools come after you've changed your mindset. Just like with exercise, once you've decided you're going to exercise, it kind of doesn't matter whether you end up, you know, wanting to go out for a run or ride a bike or go swimming. You know, you're doing the exercise, the tools will come. So the mindset shift is the most important thing. But I do think it does require a technology infrastructure to be able to monitor what people are saying and doing out there, much like a bond trading desk needs a technology infrastructure to find out what's going on in the markets. And I think that marketing is becoming a much more technology-driven practice than it has been in the past. You know, in the past, marketing and public relations have been more creative pursuits. And not that any of that's changing, but to be successful with real time, you do have to be aware of what's going on. And by doing so, you need to implement the technology that allows you to monitor what's going on. You mentioned one of them, just Google News and Google Search. You know, now the real time search results are in there. So that's just one example. But monitoring Twitter, monitoring Facebook, and making sure that you know what's going on your website in real time. You know, it's not just a matter of collecting leads that come through and checking them on a monthly basis. It's about understanding who is on your website right now and what are they doing and what can you glean from that and how can you engage them this instant when the time is right.
Okay. The reason I asked about the tools and those sorts of things, like, there are so many corporate Twitter accounts out there, and you cite some really good examples in your book of how they're being used. And I know we've had this discussion before about, if it's a corporate account, do we have a real person behind it? I mean, does that personality come out from behind the brand, or where is that crossover between individual and the brand?
Good question. It partly depends on what kind of organization, but in my opinion, for most organizations, the corporate Twitter feed, you know, where it's the name of the company and it's probably a logo as the image, a corporate Twitter feed is a pretty different tool than the Twitter feed of an employee who happens to work at that company. And I think the best approaches are those that focus on the people, but then, you know, you might have a way that you can broadcast information through the corporate account. A good example is IBM. Mm-hmm. IBM has 400,000 employees worldwide. They're located everywhere. And of those 400,000 employees worldwide, 200,000 of them are active in real-time media. They have Twitter accounts, they blog, they have Facebook accounts that they use for, related to work. Now, that's an incredible amount of people who are now operating in real-time and evangelizing for the company in precisely the forums and the chat rooms and the blogs and the places that they're existing in potential potential customers are operating. And that's one of the tenets of this, is that when your marketplace is participating in a certain forum or chat room or social networking site, that's where you have to be too. And there's no way, there's no possible way in hell that a 400,000 person company can do their real-time engagement from, you know, some corporate platform where they've got an IBM Twitter feed. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. The only way to do it is to disperse it down so that every employee is part of the process. Now, I know that's a fairly tall order for large organizations, but I mean, I think back to, I imagine back to what it would have been like at the turn of the last century when telephone was invented. You know, at first maybe they had one telephone for the whole company, but sooner or later everyone's got a phone on their desk. Same thing with computers, same thing with email, same thing with access to Google and the web. You know, at a certain point, companies need to realize that this is about having everybody be involved, and they need to have the guidelines in place. So there's clearly things that need to get done to make sure that the lawyers and the HR people and the PR people are satisfied. But that's all fairly easy. The hard part's the mindset.
Yeah. I mean, certainly a lot of the corporates or people who work in corporates that I've spoken to that are in, say, a marketing position, and they're a publicly listed company, it fills them with dread to think that people are out there tweeting or Facebooking about the company. But I like your take on some of these issues, and that is, you know, that treat people like adults.
And you know, it's really interesting because you're right. A lot of companies do have fear of these things. And the fear stems from the fact that most organizations have operated on a command and control mentality, and they feel as if they've had that they've tried to have control over what people say. And you know, that's manifested through inane kind of vision statements that companies post on their website, and in all this sort of stuff. And that's just, you know, what's happening now is everybody's engaged. Everyone's talking about you. And if you're not part of that, then you look sort of silly because you're literally not there. It's like there's a party going on and you're not at the party. So if people are talking about you, you know, you don't know what they're saying. And eliminating the fear is a really big aspect, and eliminating control is a really big aspect of that mindset shift I've talked about, where people have to have a mindset shift in order to be successful with real-time marketing.
Part of that mindset shift that I've, there's a couple of companies that are doing quite well in Australia on Twitter that I've seen that I think are doing quite well, and that is they're running searches on Twitter, and they'll have, so as soon as I'm bitching and complaining about a particular bank or a particular telco who's sending me large paper directories in dropping them on my doorstep, if I'm bitching and complaining about them on Twitter, all of a sudden they'll pop up and they'll respond. And I've got to say that both Telstra and certainly the National Australia Bank have, in my personal experience, done it quite well. And I don't usually say nice things about either of those, but they are. They're running a search on Twitter, and when you talk about them, they come straight in and they respond. And I think the people behind those corporate accounts who are actually operating them at the time have had really good customer service training, and they've worked on a call centre in a previous life, because I can get a bit grumpy at times on Twitter, as we all can with bad service, but they seem to respond pretty well as opposed to someone who's had no training. Have you seen organisations that have actually targeted individuals within the company for their customer service skills to respond online?
I think that you've hit on something that's really important, yeah. I mean, clearly, for that kind of reactive approach to real-time communications, you know, monitoring Twitter and responding appropriately, that's very much a customer service initiative. And clearly, the great customer service translates into a form of marketing, because then people will talk about you and say, geez, I had this great experience with Telstra. You know, they're a great company, and then, you know, that's got a real big knockoff effect. But I think that's only a portion of what we're talking about here. The other aspect is being aware of what's going on and being able to create something net new as a result of something going on in the industry, as a result of something going on with a competitor and whatnot. And that's sometimes a little bit harder, and requires people not who have a customer services background, like we just talked about, but marketers. And I'll give you an example. Company that I work with is called Eloqua, and their biggest competitor, a company called Market to Lead, was acquired by Oracle. Oracle acquired Market to Lead because they wanted to get into the marketing automation business. So this category of software is called marketing automation. Eloqua saw one of their biggest competitors acquired, and most companies would say, "Oh, that's interesting. You know, we'll get to figure out what that means, and you know, go to sleep and not even think about it for a day or two." But the CEO of Eloqua, a guy called Joe Payne, did an instant blog post within 2 hours after the announcement. He blogged it, and he said, "Hey, this is great. You know, this really big software company, Oracle, is now part of our industry. Isn't this great?" He provided some statistics that he quoted that he knew. And he did a very high-level blog post welcoming Oracle to this new category of product that they hadn't had a product in before. Now what's interesting about this is that now the media has to write about this acquisition. It's an important acquisition. The media has to write about it. And the only two things they have to go on at this stage, in the very early stages of this development, is a three-sentence announcement that Oracle posted on their website about the acquisition, and this incredibly well-written blog post that Joe Payne from the competitor, Eloqua, wrote about. And now every single member of the media, Business Week, PC World, Information Week, all these sorts of publications then talked about Eloqua in the same story that they talked about this acquisition. Then Eloqua sent an email to everybody in their marketing database who was tagged as being an existing customer of the acquired company, Market to Lead, and said, "Hey, you just thought you'd like to know that, you know, as your marketing vendor was acquired, here's what our CEO had to say about it." Now, remarkably, in this case, Jim, and I'm amazed at this, Oracle and Market to Lead hadn't gotten around to telling their customers that the acquisition had happened. So the first person to tell these companies that their marketing automation vendor had just been acquired was the CEO of a competitor. And as a result of doing that, a whole bunch of those people then wanted to get into the sales cycle and figure out, hey, what are these guys doing? This is pretty cool. You know, the fact that they were on top of this, this is a company I think I might want to do business with. They closed their first deal as a result of this with a company called Red Hat Software. Mm-hmm. It closed in 3 weeks. It was $250,000 sale. And since then, they've closed nearly $1 million worth of new business. Now, this new business, nearly $1 million worth of new business for this software company, came as a direct result of doing a real-time initiative. They were monitoring what was going on with a competitor. They found out that competitor was acquired. They immediately jumped in to comment on that acquisition, and as a result of that, generated $1 million worth of revenue they wouldn't have generated otherwise. Now, had they even waited a couple more hours, they never would have had that opportunity. It was all about jumping in real time. And that's what I'm talking about with real-time marketing. Sure, the customer services aspect is important, monitoring Twitter and commenting on people. It's very important. Don't get me wrong. But as marketers and as communicators and as entrepreneurs, the things that companies like Eloqua and companies like Oakley have done are fascinatingly interesting, and I, you know, I'm so eager to share them.
Wow. And viewers, that's the sort of absolute gold case studies you're going to get if you come and see David speak in Australia. David, just finally, it's actually quite a good segue talking about entrepreneurs and those sorts of things. Google did a survey last year where they found that 40% of Australian businesses don't even have a website. Now, I'm presuming that a lot of those businesses are micro businesses. They might be individual tradesmen. They might be very small businesses. But if you were giving some advice to an entrepreneur today or a new business owner, where would you advise them to set up shop? Is it on the web? Is it in Facebook? Should they have a Twitter presence? Should they do all these things?
I think every company should have a website, a presence on the web. It's just critically important because people go to Google first. You know, all the studies I've seen show that Google is more important than any other means for when people have a product or service that they're looking for.
Thank you. I just want people to hear that again. Google, people go to Google first. That's for all the that's for all the people have
first.
Arguments with me with social media. Keep telling me search is dead.
Oh, God, no. Search is the most important thing. There's no question about it. People go to Google first.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, they also ask their friends on Facebook or Twitter for advice or email. But I think every organization needs a presence on the web. And the main thing with a website is it needs to have some interesting content that's well optimized so that it's likely that if somebody enters a phrase that you'll pop up. And I think that's really, really important. And that's a great first step. You don't have to be thinking about all that other stuff until you have that site. But I do think it's really important to have that site and make sure that you've got something going.
Fantastic. Well, David, thank you very much for your time today. I know I'll let you get back to shoveling snow.
Well, fortunately, it didn't snow today, but we're supposed to get some more in a couple of days. But I got to tell you, I've gotten some great exercise shoveling snow. I mean, it's really hard work taking all of the 3 feet of snow, and I have like a 100-foot driveway. It is a lot of work.
God, that's a lot of snow. Look, and for anybody who wants to see David when he comes out, comes out to Australia, I should say. Please just head across to businessconnect.com.au. Thanks very much, David.
Thanks a lot, Jim.